Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interest in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world. One man will assist you on your journey to become a pinner and grow your presence online. Men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host.
Is your host, Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. I'm very excited today to be talking all about understanding Google Plus collections. But first, I want to tell you about a group coaching opportunity I will be offering. I'm getting ready to launch an 8-week in-depth live Pinterest training, which will be offered to a select few. I'm really wanting to keep the class size down so we can really work together to get your Pinterest account driving traffic and giving you the results that you need for your business. If you're interested in finding out more, head on over to manlypinteresttips.com/training. That's manlypinteresttips.com/training. I'm so excited to have with me today on the show Miss Kimberly Reynolds. Kim Reynolds is a digital strategist as well as the marketing manager for Social Media Examiner. Kim started her first business at 12 years old and hasn't stopped since. Her passions include augmented reality, virtual reality, and riding her motorcycle. She can be found tweeting as @KimReynolds. Now, this interview that I did with Kim was a live show where the audience was able to interact with myself, guests, and each other. If you'd like to be a part of one of our live shows, make sure to head on over to manlypinteresttips.com and join our email community to find out when our next live show is. Come join us, where you can ask your own questions during the show. Kim was one of the first people that I really started following when I dove into Google Plus a couple of years ago. And it's been a blast to be able to work with her recently on Social Media Examiner's social and marketing team, where I've been so impressed with the knowledge she brings to all aspects of social media marketing. She's always been very helpful and brings a ton of insight into Google Plus collections today. So let's jump right into my conversation with Kimberly Reynolds. Kim, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I did not know that about augmented reality. That's very, very interesting. I did not know you were into that kind of stuff.
Oh, I'm such like a sci-fi nerd.
Yeah.
And that I love science fiction. And so when all this stuff started coming out, you know, they've been talking about it in science fiction forever. Right. And then when Google. Well, Google has their cardboard, but when right. Facebook bought Oculus, it's like, and then now lately I've been thinking out some of the things you can do with right. that. And for as a marketer, like how we can invade the space.
Yeah. So. Well, I was thinking, you know, how cool would it be? You know, they've got that 360 video that you guys mm-hmm. talked about on the show
yeah.
a couple of weeks ago. But if you attach that to a drone and like if you could fly yeah. that through, like stuff it like let's say the Midway mixer, something like that, that would be so cool.
Oh, it'd be very cool.
Yeah. So, it just opened up a ton of stuff. So, as I'm talking with Kim today, if you guys have any questions, make sure you ask them by typing /Q in the chat, and we will see those highlighted, and we'll be able to get to those and try to answer those for you today. But, Kim, before we get started, I want to know about your journey, how you got involved in social media. I don't think I know that story. So, can you give us a little bird's eye view?
Sure. Well, it started out a long time ago, back in 95, when I first, my best friend's brother is a head of computer science at Cal State, San Bernardino. Yes, that Cal State, San Bernardino. And so he had said, "Hey, Kathleen, Kim, come on over. I want to tell you about something." And it was the World Wide Web. I'm like, wow, that's so much more interesting than accounting. And so, which is what I was doing. I had right. an accounting services company. So I taught myself HTML and started building websites. And then pretty soon I started building e-commerce sites for myself. And I did that for quite a while. And one of the sites actually got really huge, 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 like, and then I had my fifth baby and decided I needed to stay home with kids for a little while right. and got out of it. And then when I went back, everything was social media. And I had met my husband, I got divorced and got remarried. My new husband on MySpace.
Okay.
But you know, for me, social media was just, you know, like dating sites or whatever. And then, then when we were dating, I got off MySpace. And so then when I decided to start up another business, I'm like, well, I know the internet. And so I went back and everything was social. So I jumped into social to learn how to promote my own website, which was kind of like an about me, but with QR codes.
Okay.
So that's how the QR Kim came to be. But I loved QR codes and technology. So from that, I started learning more. I went to Social Media Marketing World, the first one in 2013. Mm-hmm. And afterward, I was so excited. I did a video. I did two videos, like la, 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 and all these people I met. Kim Garston. I just, Vivica Von Rosen, everyone. I was just fangirling, like everyone. And Mike Stilsner saw it and showed the team. And he called me out of the blue and said, hey, what would you think about working with us? And I'm like, I can't breathe.
That is very, very cool. That is very cool. I did not know that story. So that's awesome. You know, I was so not into social media. I mean, I was like, I hated chat, AOL chat rooms and all that stuff. I was like, I didn't even want to talk to it.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't want to talk to these people, you know? And so, and then, yeah, I was like, I did websites and then I got into stuff and then it just started. Then I came back and, everything's on social. I better do what I'm telling my clients and kind of from there. So yeah, very, very cool. So, so today we're going to be talking about Google Plus collections, and that was the first network I really got into was Google Plus. And I mean, I really kind of felt like I cut my teeth. I remember when Mark Trapagan answered the first, something I said, I was like, oh my gosh, Mark Trapagan. And then
I remember that too, but I didn't know who he was.
Okay. Well, I'd stalked him for a while. And then I followed him and you and Mike Alton first. And I was like, okay. And then when you first get in it, you just stalk people and you don't say anything. You just read stuff. Right. And then I started getting into it and I started my own, Google Plus Hangout show. But Google has changed recently. And I mean, I'm still there and I went ahead and switched over to the new layout that they've just come out with.
Yeah.
But it's really strange to me because I think I only have like 6,000 followers in Google Plus, but I have one collection that's got close to, I think, 20,000.
Oh, and so, wow.
Yeah. And so I must be on one of the suggested lists somewhere or something. Yeah.
What's that collection? What's the collection?
It was just kind of a placeholder thing that I didn't know where to put stuff. It's called Awesome Stuff on the Web. And funny things on there. I put, once in a while, I put my blog posts on there. I shared something today over there about, there was a thing on a late night show where Downton Abbey, if they had American accents and they didn't use their British ones, which was really funny.
Yeah.
So stuff like that. I mean, it's not, just stuff, but they love it and it's blown up. So how should people use Google Plus collections? Can you give somebody, let's back it up a little bit. And why don't you explain what a Google Plus collection is to people who may not know?
Well, if people are familiar with Pinterest, imagine Pinterest for content. That's the way I look at it now, because when Google Plus first came out with their last new design, which was the big images, and everyone's like, oh, I remember when I was on Google Plus before it became Pinterest, and it was there's a whole meme going around about that. And I love Mark Trapagan. You ring? can I tell you my Mark Trapagan story super quick? Okay, I'm sorry. So how I first met Mark Trapagan was I had written a blog post and it was semi-criticizing Google Plus and saying, I don't know that it's a ghost town, but I also don't know that it's all that great. I'm keeping my, I'm leaving it open.
Right.
Well, Mark Trapagan had commented on it and we went back and forth. And at the end of the conversation, he said something to the effect of, well, we don't agree, but I appreciate you at least talking and not being rude or something like that. And I'm like, thinking, thank you. I should go look him up because I don't actually know who he is. So I looked him up and I'm like, oh, crikey. It's like me arguing with Mark.
Google Plus,
Well, it's like me arguing with Mark Zuckerberg about the best way to do Facebook, And so I'm like, huh. And I was all scared after that. I was like, hi. And so, over time, I've gotten to know him and he's super nice and he's very knowledgeable about way more than Google Plus. Like, he knows everything about search. So, that's it. Now I forgot the question you asked me originally.
Oh, so I thought you did a good job of explaining what Google Plus was, because I was, you said it was, it's like Pinterest for content, which is a great comparison, because one of my questions was going to be, what is the difference, do you think, between Pinterest and Google Plus? And I've never had it explained that way, because really, Pinterest really is mostly images. I mean, that's what drives Pinterest is images.
Yeah.
And, but the place for content, I thought that, I've never heard that before, and I thought that was really good, because...
Yeah. Well, that's the way I think about it, because I like Pinterest. I do a lot, but I don't go there to find content. I can find content, and I know that Pinterest is great for referral traffic, and I know all of these things, but honestly, when I use Pinterest, it's because I'm like putting together Christmas lists for my kids, or I'm looking up a recipe, or you know, stuff like that. I really don't go there to learn content. When I go to learn content, I usually search on Google or Google Plus. And so when they came up with this idea of collections where you could put all of your content according to topic rather than just, you know, randomly follow a person and hope that you see something you want to see, it was just, it was brilliant. But here's the thing. I started a collection and never did anything with it and kind of, I don't know. I kind of forgot about it. And then I was talking, you know, I was talking to Phil and he's like, so Google Plus, are we going to do anything with that? I'm like, you know, I'm going to get some collections started. So once I started, I kind of went hog wild and now I'm obsessed with collections. It's just great. And so, yeah, but my findings on collections are a little bit different than what I've heard other people say about collections. So
now I argue with, I think for like food bloggers and some other people, they search first on Pinterest than they do Google Plus. That's the stuff I've heard. And I do a lot of searching just because I'm Pinterest dude and I do a lot of that. And there is a lot of content on there. And I think there's a lot of cross stuff you can do because I think visual stuff will do better for you on a collection than, you know, than some other things. So I think there's a lot of things you could take both places. But so, So how with the new Google layout, do you think it's easier for people to find content? Because I was playing with it today, and I know circles are still there, but they're buried, and it just doesn't seem as easy to use. Do you think people are going to struggle with that, or do you think that's just, there's the new people coming on are just going to go, okay, this is the way it is. I'm going to go all in collections, and that's going to work for them.
I think that for new people, it depends on which way you're looking at the new people. Are you looking at new users or new marketers like us that want to find a way to use or bloggers or whoever? Are you talking about the user or the publisher, if you will?
I'm thinking the user because I know a lot of times we get stuck on and we always think of it from our mindset, but the people we're marketing to are they actually people who need to have it easy to use. So,
exactly.
You know, and so do you think it's easier for the end user now with the collections or... I still don't know.
Well, you know, what I like about it, and I noticed this when I was on mobile doing search, that when you search for a topic on the new Google Plus, since they updated their apps that are beautiful, that the first stuff that comes up for me usually is a relevant community and then the next relevant collections. And then after that, you'll get people, which is circles. So, you know, it kind of Google's kind of showing you their priorities and community is a big thing, but collections now are second. And I think it's going to be more helpful to people because if they're looking for a specific topic, you know, bam, it's going to be right there and they can scroll through easily. And that's why the cover of your collection is important. So people know exactly what they're getting. But I don't know. I think that I personally find it easier.
Okay.
And I like it. I like it better. But well,
Mark was saying the same thing. He says he didn't struggle with it. He says old users have been, but new users are kind of from the start. It's kind of the way it is.
Right.
And that leads me to my other question. Isn't Google Plus dead? Everyone keeps saying it. And so should businesses get on board with collections now? I mean, so what would you tell somebody who hears all this press about Google Plus is dead, they're shutting it down, blah, 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 and this new collection rolls out and I've had people come to me, well, I thought it was dying. Why are they doing this? What would you tell them?
Well, I would say, one, it's Google Plus collections. It's Google. So, you know, when you publish on Google, they're going to give, I know they give emphasis to content there. So one, you want your content there. You have a chance with Google Plus Collections to really firmly entrench your brand in an area, a topic area that you want them to be known for. So that's one way you want to own that little space of that particular topic area. And if you're a local brand, then, you know, you can have a board just on your local area. And I was also thinking when you were speaking, I'm like, wow, you know, you could do a collection of like a how to, like you can have small collections, like how to do something. And not everyone wants to watch videos, so you can put videos in collections, but you could do, you know, how to do this and do pictures of each step. And that could just be one collection, or, and then add a video overview if you want, or a link to a podcast, or even have a how to create images for Pinterest, and then have a whole bunch of different sources on just that one particular how-to topic. And that's getting very niche, which is important, and it's also useful. So, you know, at Google, everyone keeps saying, oh, Google Plus is dead. I think what Google Plus has finally done is realize that they can't be Facebook. They need to be something, and they need to define themselves. And what are they known for? They're known for content. So what better than to create these collections around content topics and interests.
Kristen has a great point. She says collections help to focus your message.
Yeah.
They enable you to choose your voice, which is a good, I thought that was a good point. Thanks.
That is.
For that.
That's very good.
So here's the question I have. And just to be, I want to make clear for the people listening is now you have Google Plus collections for your profile, but you can also have them for your page, correct? Yeah. Because don't you have one for Social Media Examiner?
Yeah, I have like
that's what I thought.
10 now, and I have like 4 more planned this weekend.
Now, you can put Elaine says you can put a video in a collection, and you can, can't you?
I don't know why you wouldn't be able to. I have not yet done it, but why wouldn't you? If you have a post, and like for instance, yesterday I just posted the YouTube show. It was the link to the right. YouTube show for the tool show,
right.
And which they mentioned you a lot, by the way, Jeff. So that's a post, a Google Plus post. I did put it in a collection.
I did too. So it's there. Yeah. So you
can. Drop
it in. It's just like any other image or whatever. So
yeah, you can. Yeah.
So, and you can also, cause you know, one of the big things for that I used a lot and kind of got me interested in Pinterest is you could have a private board. That only you or who, like I share one with my daughter or whatever.
Right.
And you can do the same thing as well with a collection, right?
Right. But once you decide it's private or limited to like one circle or whatever, that's it. You can't change it.
Ever.
Ever.
Okay. See, they changed that on Pinterest because I can now make private boards public now.
Right.
So
yeah.
Okay. That's a good thing to know.
Yeah.
So... The other thing I didn't know till today, and I asked Dustin, and anybody who's interested in, and you had mentioned talking about customizing your boards, your that big image, which is really pretty gorgeous on Google Plus.
Yeah, it is.
Dustin Stout has a, Kristen, if you could put the link to Dustin's blog in there, that would be awesome. But he's got a template to use for collections that's really handy. So if you guys want to make images for that, and Wade Harmon also has a great article on Google Plus collections, but.
Well, I'll just tell you right now, just the quick and dirty, 1080 by 607. Make sure you center it, and that way it's going to look great in the little thumbnail. It'll show up.
Okay.
And then so I made a template on Canva.
And okay, they don't have one yet. It's.
I suggested it to them, and they probably will. But
cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So
now I didn't know this till today, but can do Google Plus collections rank on search? Because I know Pinterest boards do. Like if I go search instant Instagram tips on Google, they will rank. It will show up on search results. Do collections rank as well?
I've heard that they do, and I haven't personally tested it out. Ours are pretty new. It's only been like a week,
right?
A very intense week. But they, I've heard that they do.
Okay.
And I know Dustin gives a ninja trick, which. I think he'd be okay with me sharing his ninja trick. Yeah. His ninja trick is to post directly to collections rather than, and that he's seen better results from posting directly to collections. Now I have seen something different. I've seen that posting it to the general
public,
public, just regular posts like you would to Google Plus, and then sharing it, not moving it. But, and I'll explain the difference between sharing and moving.
Okay.
And I can thank Mark Traphagen for this one. But then if I then share the post to a collection, it gets phenomenal engagement and reach, for lack of a better word. It's for, so for us, for Social Media Examiner, it might be the size of our audience, which is, you know, significant.
Right.
But I'm finding that the posts that I share and then, I mean, I'm sorry, that I post directly to the page and then share to a collection are doing better than the ones that I post directly to the collection or post and leave to the page.
Okay. So explain the difference between move and share.
Okay. Sharing in the old Google Plus, if you push the little, you know, drop down arrow, it'll say move to a collection. And you can move it wherever you wanted it to move. And when you did that, it went directly to the collection. It didn't go through your stream or feed, and it just went there. The URL would change, but both URLs would both work. So that was moving. With the new Google Plus look at it, at first I thought, oh, you can only share them, because you can share to a collection. When you go to share, instead of putting public, you write the name of your collection.
Right.
You can share to it. But you can also just, and that goes through your feed and your stream like any other thing you would share. But you can also move the collection in the new Google Plus directly to the post, directly to a collection, by going to the top right-hand corner of a post and clicking the little dot, 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 and then there'll be the option. And that was kind of hidden. So thank you to Mark Traphagen for letting me know about that, because I thought, wow, I'm going to have to share all these. People are going to hate me for flooding the stream. But no, you can still, in the new Google Plus, you can still move them. And you can pin. You can also pin
to the top kind of thing, right?
Yes. Okay. I think it's kind of buggy still.
Okay.
I can sometimes pin. I can sometimes not pin. But you can theoretically still pin.
Okay.
Which is nice.
Mike Alton asked to walk us through a recommended process for building a new collection. Do you choose a bunch of old articles and share them at all to that collection all at once, or how do you usually do that? Like, I know you just kind of went through this with Social Media Examiner, kind of rearranging some stuff to collections. So what was the process you used?
First, I figured out how far back do I want to go,
right?
And because that could be a lot of content. And then I decided that I would start when we did a little experimenting on image size, because for a while there, the recommended image size was Pinterest dimensions, and they look beautiful on desktop, not as well on mobile. So we finally settled with, instead of open graph size, just settled on square images. So I think it was like March or April that I started doing square images for every single article.
Mm-hmm.
So I started then. That's why I decided that like the starting point would be like March, April. And then if an article that I look at the title and I realize, oh, you know, that's not really relevant anymore, I wouldn't move it over into a collection. But I didn't share them to a collection because I didn't want to flood our stream with like article after article after article.
Right.
So I simply moved them and went through and moved every post that we did, both evergreen and new, and just moved them to the collections. And now, I think the strategy is going to be with evergreen that I will share from a collection, share it to a different collection of relevant. Like if I have a video marketing tips for Facebook ads, well, you know, one month or week, I'll share it to, originally share it to Facebook, then to video, and then to the new collection that I'm starting this weekend, which is paid media.
Okay.
So then it'll be moved to paid media. And that's you know, my strategy or our strategy right now. But I found that the few collections I originally had started, that I needed a lot more, that I needed to get a little more granular in the types of collections. And another thing I just noticed is that having the tagline, because you have a title, but then there's also a place to put a tagline. I suspect that the tagline is ranked by Google within Google Plus search, because when I went and did searches for a bunch of different random things, I noticed that the collections that had a tagline with the keywords in it tended to come up higher than ones without a tagline.
Okay. Very interesting. So. Because Laughing Elaine said, any recommendations on collection cover graphic? My impression is they are without text, but they could include text. So I guess you could have, I think she's asking if you could have like a text overlay in the image that you create.
Yeah.
And you're saying go ahead and also put a keyword kind of rich description.
Right. Ours, since there are so many, and because I'm very, very anal about making sure things are kind of uniform.
Right.
And Destin Stout is always like in the back of my mind. Keep your social icons updated. There's nothing right. worse than a social media with yeah. the wrong icons.
You'll flip me down. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So when I started making the collection cover photos, I noticed that eye-catching covers for the collections obviously catch my eye. So I looked at them. And so when I made ours, I used as a background the official color for the network. Then I just wrote like Facebook marketing and I centered it properly and I used their font and then I put a transparent logo of theirs. So it's really, they're not super fancy, but they're all uniform. And so Pinterest uses the Pinteresty font and Instagram. And then I made each background color different. So, and then you also get a secondary accent color.
Right.
And again, because I made ours black on all of them because I wanted them to be one thing to tie them all together. And I think that's important when you're looking at your collection in totality.
Right.
Try to find a way to visually tie all the collection covers together so that you have a similar look and feel, even if you do differentiate them a little bit. And also, ideally, I think that if you create your cover photos so that they are your particular style,
right.
people will start to recognize, oh, hey, that's probably, you know, good.
Right. Gotcha.
And also your brand's in there, the brand names. Your
right. Is there a limit of how many Google Plus collections you can have? Do you know if there's a limit?
I don't know if there's a limit. I haven't hit it yet. I'm not really sure.
Okay,
I haven't heard anything.
Well, then the other thing is, do you have, since you kind of researched this when you're setting up social media examiners collections, did you see ones that you thought did well? Were there a certain type of collection that you thought did well compared to other ones?
I'm just now right now going through all of the data and I'm kind of a data freak. So I've been collecting data based on how the post was originally shared. Was it shared just to the Google and then was it then shared to a collection or posted directly to a collection? So I'm breaking down by that, you know, how many pluses, how many comments, how many shares, and the color. So as well as the topic. So I'm trying to figure out and the time of day and the day of the week. So there's a lot of different variables in there, but I'm trying to figure out what's like the sweet spot. And right. I haven't figured that out yet. Though I would say that the topically, I was really surprised by how well a couple posts on creating graphics. That seems to be a very popular topic is how to create graphics. Anything to do with visual marketing seems to do really well. You know, you'd think that Facebook wouldn't do well, but the Facebook posts do really well. And even though on Facebook, Google Plus posts probably wouldn't do as well. On Google Plus, we're just a much more, you know,
open. We're open-minded
group.
Well, I've seen the same thing with Instagram and Pinterest. Instagram posts really do really good on Pinterest. I mean, talking about how to do stuff
on
Pinterest marketing. So, yeah, I can see how that would happen. Why do you think, and it's confusing, I think, because follow counts are separate from, you know, your collection followers. Like I said before, like I have, if you just go to my profile, it says like I have 6,000 plus people who follow me. But if you go to that collection, it varies and it's not taking that and adding it to, why do you think they did that? And do you think follower counts even matter anymore?
Well, when you're automatically following the collections of people in your circles that you've added to circles, you're automatically following their collections. But now you can go back and you can unfollow collections if you're not interested in them, though that was probably be a lot of work. And you can follow collections. You may not want to follow the person specifically, but you can follow collections themselves. Like you've seen with that, you might have 6,000 followers, but 20,000 on a particular collection.
Right.
So, and I think that's nice. You know, it'd be nice if there's like a way to bulk unfollow things because it can, I want to make sure that I'm, that's the other part. I want to make sure that Google Plus is feeding me what I really want to see. Right. And I have kind of eclectic taste, and most people do. We like a wide variety right. of things, but there's certain people that though I may be interested in something they have to say, I don't want to really see it. But there's something right. else I definitely want to watch. So I want right. to be able to still follow the person, but only see certain information. And now this gives us a way of doing that. It's just going to be a lot of footwork for now.
Yeah, that was the thing when I first started on Pinterest, and a lot of newbies do the same thing, is they click and follow all. Like, let's say Peg Fitzpatrick's board, I like her social media stuff, and I'll just click on follow all. Mm-hmm. Well, all of a sudden, I'm getting all her hair and crafty things, which I didn't want to see. And so I think that's a lot of, I think, well, a lot of guys quit using Pinterest or didn't at first. Right. And so that's the same kind of thing with Google Plus. I'm still seeing, like you said, a lot of stuff I don't want to see because I defaulted to some people's collections. So going back through there, and it's going to be a mess trying to go yeah. back and unfollow things. So,
but I think I think ultimately it's going to be good because, and again, I keep throwing out Mark Traphagen here, but he kind of predicted this a while back when he saw that Google Plus was making changes. His prediction was that they were going to become much more centered on interests rather than centered on people, and that they're using artificial intelligence to do that, which, you know, I mean, so is Facebook. I mean, right. They all are. But he was right on the money about that. And I think that given enough time, Google Plus is really going to be able to start feeding us what we want to see, because they're going to learn, you know, she unfollowed that. Okay. Maybe she just doesn't want to see any of those kind of posts from anyone, or, oh, she went and followed that collection. Well, we have more. She might want to see this. So I think that they're learning a lot from this, and I don't know how much other data they collect comes into play, but I know with Facebook, you know, they look at a whole bunch of different stuff because you tend to put more demographic information on Facebook willingly than on Google Plus, because I don't really think anyone cares on Google Plus. I mean, I know, and I don't really, I almost never ever go and check out the about section on people on Google Plus, whereas on Facebook I might. And right. I don't know why that is. That's, I don't know.
Huh. Yeah. I still go to the about thing when I'm trying to find out about people. So I guess it depends on. And it's hard to me, my opinion on this new design, it's hard to go find it. Like, I went to look for like your bio today on Google Plus, and I could, I mean, I had to click, and it's not easy to find like it used to be.
Well, I think they're de-emphasizing people and they're trying to really push interests and topics and content, because content is what they do.
Right.
It's what they've always done. And I think it's so smart that right now that they are getting back to their roots, if you will, that they realize they don't need to be a social network per se. People are innately social. We'll find a way to
be social.
Socialize around it. But they're focusing on what they do, and no one does content, you know, search and organization like Google. So it's very smart.
So what would you recommend? Let's say a client came to you. So what would you recommend for them to stand out on the Google Plus collections? So they could start using it as a tool to show off their services or their product or whatever. What advice would you give them?
Well, I'd look, okay, are they a service, or are they a product? Are they a local business? All of those things. And we'll take a local business just as an example that, you know, from my perspective, it'd be really smart to make a local board. Like, say I'm in Oceanside. So say I'm the, you know, a business in Oceanside, then I would want to do, you know, fun things to do in Oceanside or blah, blah, blah in Oceanside, and really come up for that keyword, business resources to be found in Oceanside, or, if you're a car dealership, great place to
get your oil change, or
go to car shows, or like local car shows or something like that. So that would be one, is to focus on the local component and create collections and make them very niche, make, you know, get it nitty and gritty down with those kind of like, what's it called? Flipboard.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, you can make a magazine. And for me, I've never fully gotten into Flipboard. I created a few magazines, but they're kind of their own little ecosystem, and it just felt too off the map. Well, imagine making a Flipboard with your collection, and you can do that. And I wouldn't doubt that eventually, you know how Google likes to auto awesome everything. Maybe they'll auto awesome your collection into a, you know, like a a looping GIF or something. Who knows? They could. Right. That'd be so cool. Yeah, if Google was listening, please do that. That'd be awesome. But then I'd focus on if whatever type of business you are, your main specialty that you want to be known for. And here's the big question. Do you put other people's content in your collection? And that's been the big question for me. We share a lot of third-party content. Do we put the third-party content in our collections, or do we start a collection just for third-party content? So,
My default answer for that would be, because it's the same way with Pinterest, because we, you know, should I put those boards on our, you know, I have specific boards for Social Media Examiner's articles and the show, but our most popular boards are the ones with like social media marketing and, you know, streaming video. Yeah. I will put other people's in there because my thing is to always think about my audience. And if I'm providing value that my audience is following and liking, then that's okay to do. Now, right. I don't know if that translates to Google Plus or not because it's so new with these collections, but yeah I just don't know because, you know,
yeah. Well, I guess there could be a marketing play in that as well, because like with Social Media Examiner, we also do events. So maybe the smart move would be to, yes, share third-party content as long as it's one of our speakers or if it's something great from a sponsor or something like that. That would be a good reason because not only have we already vetted the speakers, we know the content's good, and two, it's a way of showing them a little bit of love. And that's like a big thing for us, show our speakers love. So, you know, maybe that's for us personally, not for other people. I'm sure there's going to be other criteria.
Strategies, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not really sure, like if you're a business, I'm not entirely certain that you want to share other people's content unless it's a complimentary product or service. And then, yeah, why not? A little cross promotion going on.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like you mentioned the car dealers before. Like, okay, you're a car dealership. You can put best places to get your oil change, best places to get your places, you know, dings out of your car. You wouldn't put another car dealership in there.
Right.
But you would put stuff that would relate to your industry that your audience would find helpful. So,
yeah, or you could even do boards for brands. Like you sell, say you're a Ford and you sell Ford, Chrysler, Mercury. I don't know how it all goes. But anyways, so you do a board for each one or other things and, you know, upcoming trends in automotive and like cool autonomous driving vehicles and SpaceX. That doesn't really apply, but it's cool. Right. Or you could just do a board dedicated to Tesla because
you just should.
Yeah, because it's awesome. That's enough reason.
That's right. So does Google Plus collections, Pinterest has what they call place pins, where it has a map built in and all that stuff. Is there any kind of thing like that for collections where you can tie in a location? Because you, like, mentioned yours from Oceanside, or is it just right now just kind of in the title and you would break it down that way?
I have not seen anything that would be similar to a place pin yet.
Okay.
But I would not doubt that it could be coming because it's still Google. They have Google Maps. Right. And I know that there's been, and I haven't been keeping up on my Google, like local and Google business stuff as well as I should. But I think there's been some sort of de-emphasis on the pages or the location pages. And I'm probably getting this all wrong, so I should just stop talking right now. But it would make sense that they could do that, some of that functionality.
We had one question from Shai. It says, seen hashtags are supported in Google Plus. What's your opinion on that? Are there any tips that you would give for hashtags? Do you put hashtags in the Social Media Examiner posts?
I do. I typically do 3 hashtags, and that's a completely arbitrary number that I use also on Instagram because everyone says, do between 10 and 9 million hashtags, the more the better. Can't have enough hashtags. No. And I just actually read a study saying that the optimal number of hashtags on Instagram, contrary to what most people think, is actually 3 to 4. So just I know
you sent me that study.
Yeah. See. So I typically put 3. I put a broad hat. Like if it's Facebook marketing, I do Facebook marketing. And then I do another one that kind of relates to the content in the article. Like if it's insights or something. And then I do a third one always, which is SM Examiner. And I do that. It kind of like is like fairy dust. One, you know, you can click on that particular hashtag and bring up all of our stuff.
Right.
Now we have collections, you know, that kind of helps. But two, I'm hoping that, you know how they will do related hashtags? So if somebody does a search for Facebook marketing, Google might, if I do that enough, Google might say, well, a related hashtag is SM Examiner. Yeah. So I don't know if that will ever happen or if it's a futile hope on my part, but it doesn't hurt. So.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt anything. Kristen has another great point. She goes, and this is back when we're talking about, putting other people's content in there. She goes, based on the fact that we take on authorship when we share a post in Google Plus, I'm making the bold assumption that it will not hurt your link juice to add the content from others, thinking back to the study by Mark Trapagan about his post shares ranking higher than the person's post he was sharing. Great point, Kristen. Yeah, so it's worth testing and seeing. I still go with, if it's valuable to your audience, as long as it's not like we talked about the same car dealership kind of
right.
idea, that it'd be fine to do as long as you're bringing value to your audience. So very, very cool. Thanks for that point.
And there's two different things to look at. You, in my opinion, you're looking at how posts are going to help you in general search results on Google, like just general Google. And then also how your stuff is going to do within the Google Plus ecosystem itself. And so I think that I don't know if one strategy is better for one type of search than it is for the other type of search. I just haven't had enough data to collect yet,
right.
But that would be interesting. And then it goes back to your strategy. Well, what are you more focused on? I think that, again, this is like Google Plus to me was always a smart move from Google because it gave them that social layer on top of all the data they already collect. Right. And so now this is giving them another layer. And so if you're doing well within the Google Plus ecosystem, I would only imagine that Google's going to reward you in the broader search. But that, again, is just my musings. I have nothing to back that up.
Gotcha. Now, I haven't tested this. I have no idea. Are Google Plus collections, do they work the same on mobile as they do on the desktop? Or is there a big difference between the two?
With the new app and the new desktop layout, they've kind of streamlined so you have a very similar viewing experience. But I have not figured out a way on Google Mobile how to go directly to someone's collections and like just browse their collections. It's probably user error. Maybe there is a way and I haven't discovered it yet. But I know on desktop, it's very easy to get to someone's collections. When I go to someone's Google Plus page on mobile, I don't see something to click to get directly to their collections. And I would think that would be there. And it's probably just me not seeing it. Which,
gotcha.
You know, so if anyone knows how to do it in the comments, please let me know because I feel like I'm.
And I know this is all still kind of beta still. I mean, I think they're still working out kinks. And I believe they said they're going to be adding some things they took away and vice versa. And there's even some news today about Google Photos. You're able to share different parts of that or something. I didn't read the full article.
Can you send me that link?
Yeah, I saw it on Feedly. So I just right before the show. So,
The reason why I ask is because I read an article last week that now with Google Photos, you can start creating your own collections. And I thought, well, that's interesting terminology that they're going to call it collections when they just started the collections on Google Plus, which they separated from photos.
Right.
So, and I didn't think it was an accident that they're using the same terminology. So then I started wondering, are you going to be able to share your Google Plus photo collections as a collection on your Google Plus? So that's what I want to read and see if that was the intentional, thing.
Okay. Here's, Shai says, I think I pronounced it right. On the Google Plus app on Android, you see the collections under the title interest. Okay. Very, very cool.
Yeah. On iPhone, I have an iPhone. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But, I'm iPhone and I don't see that, but I could be missing it, or it could just be that the Android app is better than the iPhone app, which is
very cool,
perfectly acceptable.
Yeah. Very, very cool. If there's not any more questions, we're coming kind of towards the end of the show. Kim, tell us where we could find you and what's the best place if they want to get in touch with you and any new projects you've got coming up, anything you want to tell us about.
The best place to find me is on Twitter @KimReynolds or on Google plus Kimberly Reynolds. If you want to find me in person, then you can come to Social Media Marketing World in April because I will be there. Jeff will be there. Yep. A lot of people will be there and super fun. And any personal projects I have going on right now. No, I don't have anything new and exciting going on right now. Christmas shopping.
Oh, yeah. Holy cow. Thank goodness for Amazon Prime. That's all I have to say.
Tell me about it. That
I don't even do. I'm a guy. I don't like to shop. So I just when Prime.
I'm a guy. I don't like to shop.
They just don't. That just makes my day. I get all my stuff done pretty much the day after Christmas. So. It's very awesome.
Oh, smart.
Well, thanks, Kim, for being here. And as always, for you guys, thanks for everyone who joined the show, left these great comments and questions, and help us figure this Google Plus collection thing out. As always, I'd love for you guys to visit manlypinteresttips.com. Click on the sidebar. Subscribe to our email community so you'll never miss a great guest like we had with Kim here today. Because at manlypinteresttips.com, we're always adding testosterone one pin at a time. See you next time, everyone. Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.